Welcome to Cascade Connects, a podcast focusing on the people and events in the Cascade Collegiate Conference. Here is your host, CCC Commissioner Robert Cashel.
Welcome to this edition of Cascade Connects. I'm your host, Commissioner Rob Cashel, and excited today to have our 2026 multi-champion Lizzie Grandel joining the program along with her coach from Eastern Oregon University, Ben Welch. Welcome to the program, you guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us. These are always fun.
Well, Lizzie, we're going to jump right into this. Last week were the multi-championships down at Southern Oregon University, and you not only won, but you set a new conference record and a personal record. Talk a little bit about the 2 days you spent in Ashland breaking records.
Oh, man, I couldn't have asked for a better meet and a better opportunity because I came in and I always like write out my goals, like going into a heptathlon and stuff. And this is one of the few times that I've ever actually like surpassed the goals I had set. So it was just, it was awesome. The sun was shining. It was a little cold day one, but day two was just the most beautiful weather. The wind was in our favor. Like the girls there were just all so nice. Like the support, it was awesome.
Well, and speaking of setting your goals, I went back and looked at the results. And if I have these correct, and Ben, you'll correct me if I have them wrong. Mm-hmm. You were first in the 100, the high jump, the shot. Also the javelin, and you were fourth in the long jump and sixth in the 800. And there was one other that you were first in,
200.
The 200. So, man, what a great, great meet you had, having 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 first place finishes.
Yeah. Yeah. I did not like really expect that going in. So I couldn't have been happier. So,
and Lizzie, the record, which Coach and I were talking about that earlier this week, Jill Carrier from, I believe, Southern Oregon University had set the record, and it stood for 24 years. And then that record's been broken 4 different times in the last 6 years. And you're one of only 3 women that have exceeded 5,000 points. So how does that feel to be in that category of record setting?
It's overwhelming almost, but it feels so good, especially being out on the sidelines all last year with an injury. So being able to be back, I was just like, I just came in. Like, I didn't know exactly where I was going to be at, but obviously I know that I put in the work for it. And so I wanted to see where I was at and be able to build some confidence in myself and stuff. But I just also wanted to enjoy being there and enjoy being back and competing because I wasn't able to last year.
Well, I want to go back to, and we're going to touch on that injury a little bit, but in your acceleration to the championship in 2023, you were third at the HEP. 2024, you were the runner up. And then last year you were out with an injury. Ben, talk a little bit about that injury and then what you all needed to do and what you set up as a recovery plan and kind of ramping back up to competing this year.
Well, first you got to, excuse me, she got in a fight with a hurdle at Indoor Nationals and lost. Last hurdle at Indoor Nationals kind of got wrapped around her and tore her knee up pretty good. We're very, very fortunate that they were able to get her in and get surgery pretty quickly. And then she stayed here all this summer and worked with Katie Hamill, our trainer, who just does a fantastic job. And I think at times she thought Katie was trying to drown her in the pool down at Veterans Memorial Pool here in town over the summer. So non-weight bearing stuff, but anything she was asked to do, she did and did very well. There were times that, you know, it's like, back that off a little bit, but usually that knee would tell her, yeah, no, you're not doing that today. So part of it was she was very intelligent about her own listening to herself. And I'm gonna call her old, but being a little older athlete, being not being a freshman or sophomore, being, going into her senior year, I think that helped because I'm not sure she would have been as patient as a freshman or a sophomore, but took a very, very measured approach to it. And then Katie and Connor Bracken and I just she communicated with us a lot. And Adrian Washington's been helping us with the jumps. She set out to teach herself how to jump from the opposite side on her high jump. Did you switch legs in the long jump too? Yeah. So, I mean, she's already right around her PR in the long jump and closing in on the high jump. So, just, I don't know, in some ways it seemed to focus her even more. Not that she wasn't focused before, but just that kind of stubbornness and determination and just ratcheted it up and was done for it with a lot of maturity and grace. So I had to talk her off the frustration cliff a couple of times, but not too often.
So, Lizzie, tell me a little bit about that. You go down with a which sounds like a pretty bad injury at indoor, takes you out of outdoor last year. Bring us into that psychology a little bit about what went through your head as you're recovering and battling through and trying to get back to this point.
Man, that's a very loaded question because there's so much behind it. But obviously my heart was broken at Indoor Nationals. Like I went in ranked pretty high and I was so amped up, so excited, maybe a little too amped up, I guess. Crashed on the hurdle and then even like right away I knew something was like wrong, but I didn't know it was gonna be like a full ACL tear, a whole not like year-long recovery, everything. And so when I found that out, I was like very upsetting, of course. And then it was just so sad because I felt like last year I had just gotten like into shape that I wanted to be in, and like I felt like I was just tapping into like what I could really be capable of. And so then I felt like I had that like taken from me, and all I could think about was just like those like old men that are like, oh, I could have gone to the NFL if I didn't tear my knee in middle school. But and I was like, oh, that's gonna be my fate. But I didn't like want that to happen. So and then I just got to work and I was like, my Katie Hamill, our athletic trainer, was just amazing. Like she did all my physical therapy and basically my emotional therapy as well. And she told me like you can have like one, maybe 2 days of where you can sit there and you can think of the what ifs, because I was like, going to her like, oh, what if I had just like not hit that hurdle? Like what if I had just did this a little different, like this and this. And she's like, you get one day. And then after that, like you suck it up and we're just looking forward, because like that's going to kill your recovery if that's what you're thinking about the whole time. And so, I took that day, and then from then on, it was just, put your head down and get to work and take every stage as it comes. Like you gotta do the whole patient process of like being on crutches and then learning how to walk and then learning how to run and running really goofy and then having a noodle leg that has no strength, it's not equal to the other side, and then trying to listen to like what your body's saying. And then like beginning of fall, I was like starting to get back into some practices and stuff, and it was really at that point it's like I can run and I can do stuff, but like other people can see that I can run, but I wasn't nowhere close to where I like wanted to be. And but it almost felt like I was fighting an invisible injury at that point, because like everyone else, like they might forget that I'm still dealing with this. So that was came with its own frustrations, because it's almost like you have to just take your ego out of it and be like, well, I might look goofy or I might be like doing bad, I don't know, but I gotta stick to my own path and not really think about what everyone else is saying. And I also just had like so much support around me, like I said, like my coaches and stuff, and like Katie and my roommates, my family, my parents. Like I had people that I could turn to when I was frustrated, and then I had people who were cheering me on and giving me that encouragement the whole time. That was that meant a lot to me too. So.
So, you talk about the support system and knowing Coach Welch as long as I've known him, I know that there are probably plenty of times where he knew when to put his arm around you and encourage you, but also knew when to say, "Hey, let's get going. We got to keep rolling here." What's that like having such a seasoned coach who's been through this countless times with student athletes over 30 plus year coaching at Eastern Oregon?
It's pretty priceless because a big thing for me when it comes to coaching is like being able to trust your coach that they know what they're talking about and they know what they're doing. And like obviously Ben has a lot of experience, and so
It's your polite way of saying I'm old. I did discover a little bit ago I am younger than her grandfather, so that's good.
Yeah, so he has like, so I can trust everything he's saying. So then when he has like this faith in me, like it means a lot because I actually trust that he knows what he's talking about. So especially when it came to me switching my legs for high jump and long jump, like I swear every day I was going up to Ben and I was like, I'm on the brink of a breakthrough. Just trust the process. And he's like, oh, yeah, I know. Like, you're doing great. You're almost there. And I'm walking away like, I don't know if I got this like figured out. But having him just actually have that faith in me, I feel like meant a lot because I didn't necessarily know if I was going to figure it out, but he seemed to be sure that I would. So.
Every single day she'd work on that, which at the beginning wasn't much. It's like, okay, you can work on it, but you only get to do a handful of reps. You can only do it one day a week, and then it went to two and more reps and stuff like that. But every session you could see her gaining ability in it. Then it was just a matter of gaining the confidence, which I think that's still a work in progress, is
Yeah, a little
being
bit. Yeah.
completely confident in her ability to jump off that offside. But it's still, when she went out at the multis, they were jumping at the B standard for the high jump. And that's, there's only a handful of people in the country who have jumped the B. And here's the bionic woman out there trying to get it in a multi. So it's been a lot of fun. So, and it's, to be honest, I could, some days I'd see her over there working on it and I could see she was getting frustrated. And a couple of times I just told her to go home. Or stop that at least. And other times just went over there just to kind of calm her down. And other times just left her alone because I could see she was figuring it out that and her working with Adrian a lot of the time and stuff like that, that she was putting the pieces together. And it's one of those journeys that the athlete kind of has to do. If we put, as a coach, if you're too deeply involved in it, some things, especially with an athlete of her caliber and her mindset, if you're too hands-on on it, she never taps into her own strengths. Because she is a very strong person mentally, whether she gives herself credit for that all the time or not. She's extremely durable, I guess would be, resilient is probably a better word for it, mentally. And that's part of what makes her such a good multi-manner, too.
Well, I mean, just the concept of changing and jumping off of the opposite foot this far into your career seems outrageous to me. So the fact that you were able to do that, you mentioned Adrian Washington, all American, all conference champion. That had to be great help to be able to have her help you and kind of critique and work side by side with you on that transition.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. She's one of my like best friends too. And that was one like deal we made last year when I got hurt because I was the one who like got her into the multi. Like I roped her into it and she was obviously phenomenal at it. And then I got hurt and she was like, dude, you like got me into this and then you left me. Like, what the heck? And so I was like, okay, like I'll help coach you this year and then you can help me next year because she was planning to stick around for another year. So I was like, we can do a little trade-off. And I think she's a little bit better of a coach than I was, I will say. Like, she's awesome.
I want to talk a little bit about the multis and kind of the format that we do. And we've done it this way for, gosh, Ben, as long as I can remember. It's been a long time where we have the multis separated away from the full meet, which allows our multiers to then do individual events at the full meet. So talk to me a little bit about what you're looking forward to, Lizzie, at the full meet in terms of competing, if in fact you are going to be competing at the full meet. I'm assuming you
Yes,
are.
I am. I haven't fully decided
We were actually
what
talking about
events I'm
that
going
right
to
before we got
do.
started too. So she was like, "No, I can't do 500 events,
Yeah.
so maybe 400."
Yeah, it's tricky to pick what events I want to do at that conference because I want to like be a part and score points for the team, but I also don't want to burn all my energy before nationals, so it's like I don't know which ones I want to do. But I'm really looking forward to just keep whittling away at my 100 hurdles time. I feel like that's the one that I still have a lot of room to grow in. But yeah, other than that, and high jump, I really want to hit a B standard, but we'll see.
Obviously, we're going to be in LeGrand in a few weeks. Eastern has the opportunity to host this year. Ben, that's great for lots of reasons. Athletes get to sleep in their own beds. Maybe more of your fans for your particular school can come out. But man, it's a lot of work for the head coach. And so I know you're probably looking forward to it, but also kind of dreading it a little bit for having it at your place.
Once it gets started, it's all right. But the build up, as you know, the officiating is always the hardest part, is rounding up enough officials for that big of an event. And it's a little more of a challenge here in some ways, but it's a challenge everywhere. Because like there's a few officials we can't get because they're being flown to Texas and Arizona and that are in this region, but those regions can't get enough good officials, so they're flying those down. When the Pac-12 calls or the Big 12 calls in, you're probably going to go to the Big 12 if you're, if they're going to put you up in a big fancy hotel and whatnot. But we are fortunate there are some good officials in the area, but that's a lot of the challenge of it. Another thing you have to watch when you're host is meet Jenga, as I like to call it, meet chess, however you want to call it, where you put your entries, especially with an athlete like Lizzie. Has a lot to do with how you do it to meet. I mean,
Right.
that seems like an obvious statement, but there's subtleties to it that make their key difference, makes a huge difference. And part of what we'll do with her is we'll look at the schedule and what's going rolling well and what the performance list looks like and what helps her help us be good as a team at conference, but also prepares her for nationals on top of that. So with a multi-eventer like that, there's an added layer of complexity to how you do those conference meet entries, especially when
It,
you're competitive in what, five out of the seven or six out of the seven, the potential scorer, and yes, six out of the seven events. The one that's kind of her bane, but that last one, but she's not a huge 800 fan.
Lizzie, Ben and I were joking about the 800 yesterday,
Oh.
and we joked that. That there's some people that just hate it less than others.
Yeah.
It is a grueling, tough race for sure.
Oh yeah. You don't gotta
So,
tell me. I
speaking of, it's interesting because you do have to kind of look ahead to nationals while you're still looking back at the conference meet. In particular, because, Lizzie, you could go out and potentially score a lot of points for the team, but that might not help you as you're getting ready to, number one, taper down from what you just did last week, and then trying to be at your peak effort level for nationals.
Yeah, exactly. That's That's the fun little balancing act that we have to try to figure out. And you don't want to, you don't really want to mess that one up. So it's hard to know what you can do that it's gonna improve you and make you better, and what's gonna be a little bit too much that it's gonna affect your nationals meet.
So, Lizzie, I'm going to put you on the spot here with a question. Maybe it's been asked, or maybe you've thought about it in your mind, but as you've recovered and as you've come back from that injury, is there one thing that you could point to that you're most proud of in that journey?
Yeah, that's a good one. I think for me, it would just be like the consistency. I even like the days that were just boring and there was nothing exciting, nothing, there was no eyes on me, nothing going on. I still just showed up and did what I needed to do, like especially over the summer, like no one's in town, like just doing my PT and like getting my lifts in, doing everything that I can, and wasn't skipping out or only showing up when it mattered. I was more consistent probably than I ever have been, and not only with showing up for workouts and lifts and stuff, but like on the other side, the recovery, the nutrition, the sleep, like I just wanted to make sure I gave myself like the best opportunity for success, because I knew like I was going to come in at a disadvantage, and I didn't know what the year had in store for me. So I just wanted to give myself the best possible opportunity to succeed, and then like it's out of my hands after that. So.
I would have to say that her consistent focus on the right things has been very, very impressive.
That's high praise coming from Ben. He values consistency in his athletes. I know that for sure. So Lizzie, switching gears again, and maybe you're in the van with Coach when you're, or maybe you're in with Connor or somebody else. But what music is on? If you're in Ben Welch's van, what music's playing?
Usually none.
Yeah, I think everyone's like too afraid for their life to listen to music.
I'm not that old. If it
So.
is music, it's usually classic rock in my van. So
There you go, a little classic rock.
pretty
Pulling in the like 70s, 80s rock right there, Ben.
much,
Oh, yeah.
yeah.
Okay, yeah.
She needs a little lunatic fringe in her life.
Yeah,
So
can't
it's
go
actually
wrong.
song.
No,
Good
nothing wrong with a nothing
song.
wrong with a lunatic fringe track for sure.
Yeah.
So Ben, I want to turn to conference again. I know I call you the mad scientist because you drill down into the numbers. I could call you and say, hey, what did so and so run back in 20 years ago, and you can pull that number out and you know how many points you need to score. And talk about the depth of our conference, man. We are loaded again, but talk about that depth that you see week in and week out competing.
This year is a, it's kind of a unique, there's a uniqueness to the depth that in some ways a few events aren't as deep on the national side because the national standards are so nasty right now, right? They've got so tough. There's not as many national qualifiers. So there's a tendency to people looking at it to think that, well, maybe the conference isn't as deep just because there aren't as many national qualifiers. But when you look at how tough those national qualifiers are, and you start looking at how many national qualifiers in the conference there are, it's pretty impressive. The other thing about it is that the balance is distributed differently this year than most years. I mean, UBC's women are deep across the board as usual, but they're not as deep in some areas as they are normally, and they're deeper in some others. So it's kind of been interesting with that. And then you mix Trinity in the mix. And all of a sudden, we knew about their men's distance runners, but we didn't know about all those sprinters. So that's a different dynamic there. And it's a lot of fun. This is going to be a tricky one because it's even our depth is different than it's been in the last few years. were deeper in some areas and not as deep in others. And kind of everybody in the conference is like that. And I look around the country even because that makes me curious. You know, if that's us, and I'm like, okay, what's the conference look like? And then that makes me curious what's the rest of the country look like. And that the distribution of talent is very interesting. There's probably a little less of programs that have, you know, top to bottom event coverage. And that comes and goes in waves. There's a little bit more almost of a NCAA model where programs are really good in some areas and don't even worry about the other areas. There's a little bit of that. And there's always been a touch of that in a conference. But right now, some of that, the programs that are doing some of that at conference and national level, those people are really good. I mean, but they might not have somebody in a jump or a throw or a sprint, but they might have, you know, a national title contender in two or three other areas. And it makes for a very interesting and fun puzzle to solve. So.
Lizzie, I've always said, in particular in track and field, and there's some other sports too, you guys are competing really against yourself, you're against the clock, against the height, whatever it is. So there seems to be a camaraderie amongst the athletes that you don't see in maybe some other team sports. But can you talk a little bit about how, in particular, the multi competitors, you guys are there and you root for each other and you're for each other, and talk about that kind of dynamic at the multis and really everywhere you go.
Honestly, like that might be one of my favorite parts about the multi is the camaraderie is so fun. Like I see people there like throughout the years that I'm still friends with, still reach out like on social media if see something going on, you know, and it's like it's almost just like we're all in it together because the multi is such a beast and it's such a long like we're spending a lot of time together and it's a very like mentally grueling and then obviously in some ways physically grueling event. And so it's just almost like we're out there trauma bonding together. So it's like you can't be like obviously we're still like competitors and stuff, but it's like you just can't feel anything but respect for anyone else who's in that same boat with you doing that same thing because it's hard. It really is. So
You know, it really is. It's one of those things. If the competitor in the lane next to you goes down, you know, trips and crashes over a hurdle, or maybe I shouldn't use hurdle crashes, but you know, you never stop, but you go back and you check on them later. So you get across the line, then you check to see if they're okay. But it's not like you just walk off and leave them there, you know. So, but it is very definitely one of those things that there's a part of you that when somebody stumbles or fouls or something like that, there's part of the voice in the back of your head is like, well, that's one mark I don't have to worry about. But on the other is you feel sympathetic for the person too. And I think her trauma bonding is probably the best way to put that together.
So, Lizzie, regardless of where we were going to be, I'm sure you would have family and friends there, but what's it going to be like for you coming back for outdoor and actually competing at your school, at your track, in front of your classmates and probably your family coming to your place? What's that going to feel like for you?
I'm so excited. I have such fond memories of my freshman year when conference was at home. Just because like the home environment is like a little bit unbeatable, you know, and just everyone's there, like the sun was shining and it almost feels like nostalgic, like that we're gonna have that again. Last time that was like it's like a long time ago now, it feels like. So to get to do it again is I'm super excited, and especially with like my parents are able to come and like they're able to come to my like conference multi and stuff, and it just felt like very special, especially because they got to watch all the whole journey of me being out last year. Like my dad drove me to surgery, my mom helped me sit on the toilet, like. And then to have them be there every time that I'm failing. And then when they can see me, like, on the other side of it, it was very special. So I'm excited that they get to be there again.
Yeah, that'll be great. The entire crew at Eastern, Brian Avila and Angie and Malia and Khaki and Hope and the whole crew, all the trainers, Katie and Chris, everyone will do a great job in hosting. So Lizzie, are you in charge of the weather? If it's nice, we'll give you the credit. If it's rainy, it's Ben's fault.
Yeah, that's what I heard too. Can
Just
never
don't
trust
say the
this
four
guy.
letter W word. If it's calm and you say that four letter W word, you owe me push-ups when it starts to blow.
I will not say it. Ha having lived there for 18 years, I know the I know that word well.
The odds are not in our favor.
Yesterday was an absolute gorgeous day right up until 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
So, and
And then
then,
it started.
but now by 9 o'clock last night, it was raining sideways. So it's pretty calm out there now, but it is wet. So it's just keeping it green for conference. So we're hoping the May magic hangs around and we have some beautiful weather. We've had some absolutely gorgeous days and intermixed with some days like today. And so it'll be what it'll be, right?
That's
So,
right. Yeah. We're going to have a track meet regardless.
track people are
Hey.
crazy.
Everyone's in the same conditions too, so.
And
Well, I
at
really want
the
to thank you guys for joining the program. Lizzie, congratulations on your record-setting 2 days at the Multis last week. Congratulations on your journey and recovery, and really looking forward to watching you compete not only at conference in a couple of weeks, but then at nationals at the end of May.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Ben, thank you for coming on the program, we'll give you a shout out right now. Thank you and Eastern for hosting in a few weeks, and looking forward to being there at the Banner Bank track there on Eastern Oregon's campus.
Should be fun.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
This has been the final edition of Cascade Connects, and thank you for joining, and we will see you next time.
On behalf of director Courtney Blummer and host Robert Cashel, thanks for tuning in to Cascade Connects, the official podcast of the Cascade Collegiate Conference, 15 championships and over 3,000 student athletes. This is the CCC.